At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Are we chopped and screwed? Can you guys, maybe we should just talk like that and fool everybody. That's what we should have done.
Why would we do that on a day where the entire baseball community is starting to realize, uh-oh, we've awoken the giant?
Well,
the sleeping giant is awake.
Well, you know, we had a bunch of guys, we were playing poker last night watching the game, and everybody was, all right, Astros. If the Astros play the Pirates in the World Series, I think the Astros have a good chance of winning.
They're averaging 7 runs a game over the last 2.
Okay, the Astros are?
Yeah.
The Astros are averaging 7 runs a game over the last 2 games. Yeah, yeah.
14 divided by 2 is 7.
Okay, and 7 runs a game would lead the league if you scored 7 runs a game.
From an offensive standpoint, they're hot.
Yeah, well, you did play, you know, you did face Ronzi Contreras, okay? I know Ronzi is one of the all-time greats, and this Pittsburgh team, you know, did come in smoking hot, but I don't think you get to play the Pirates. Listen, I'm taking nothing away from I'm going to take something away from, all right, who has more extra base hits this year, Alex Bregman or Jake Meyers?
It's got to be Alex Bregman. I mean, he's the guy who played on the World Baseball Classic. He was a World Series.
He wasn't one of the World Series. He wasn't in the World Baseball.
Well, he should have been.
Well, right. But he
was in the last one.
Yeah. Well, that was, yeah, 3 or 4
years. Yeah, but I thought he was in this one that one time. I forget. It's already come up that he's not been in it.
Right.
But Kyle Tucker and Presley were.
Right.
But he was in consideration until he pulled out of the World Baseball Classic.
Well, he didn't really. He wasn't invited, but okay. No, Arenado was. So.
Well, I guess they didn't want a World Series winner.
Right.
So, yeah, it's got to be. It's
well, they had
be,
a couple already in Kyle Tucker and Presley, but okay.
Well, 3, obviously. Yeah. They didn't want that. So I would say, yeah, obviously it's going to be Alex Bregman.
No, it's a trick question. Neither of them have any.
What? Oh, I thought you were setting me up for
no.
I thought I was playing the game where I was going to say, oh, Jake Meyers.
No. No, I was hoping you'd say Jake Meyers because it was too, it's too crazy, you know. All these games in already, Alex Bregman is hitting .163, and his slugging percentage is .163. That's not good. That is unfortunate right now.
When you see that, math becomes easy. It means no extra base hits.
No extra base hits. None. So, and Jake Meyers, who's hitting? Who's had a better average, Jake Meyers or Alex Bregman?
Oh, it's Jake Meyers.
Jake Meyers.
Yeah.
Crushing it. .214 at .214. Oh. You know who's got a good average that you hated? You think the French are stupid and you don't even want them in your country. But Mauricio Dubon is crushing it right
sometimes
now.
I always wonder if I wonder sometimes if people hear stuff like that and they get upset. They just don't realize that we say Mauricio Dubon is from France.
Right.
Because his name is Mauricio Dubon.
Right.
And then they're screaming at the... Therefore, he's from Venezuela, you idiots.
No, he's French.
We keep our little things going,
right.
And I just wonder how bad that
is. I don't care what people...
Like, I do that with my family and my kids. You
right,
know,
right.
I keep things going they don't like, and so I'm going to keep doing it to listeners,
it's wake
too,
up so. Time in America.
What do they hate that?
Okay.
I gave that to Alec when he came back. I gave him a little taste of it.
Yeah.
Just, hey, I just want to let you know what you're missing.
And? He loved it.
Wasn't a fan.
He's not a fan?
Still not a fan.
Jose Abreu, who I like to call Joe, he, for the first time, did not have a hit. He did not have a hit. So, unfortunately, you know.
Wait. What do you? Oh, Jose Abreu.
Abreu, yeah. He didn't have a hit. Unfortunately, you know, his slugging is not there either.
No. He's singling yes, he's, a lot.
No, he's singling an immense amount of times, percentage-wise.
Some would say an inordinate amount of times.
Right, well, he is...
For being where he is in the lineup.
For a dude that, you know, has got an under-over of 22.5 home runs, he has zero.
Yeah, he may be this year's... Yuli with a better average.
Well,
maybe what we're looking at.
I don't mind if he just gets. I don't care. Yeah, but we were expecting 289.
Now he's getting paid to do more, and he was. The expectations were a lot higher.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But I'm. Are you disappointed in him? Actually, he's been playing well at first base.
I'm not to a point of being disappointed. I was expecting a little bit more pop, but I'm certainly willing to wait because I do think we need to see a little bit more pop.
Here's the thing about him when he came over, though, was that his bat speed has lowered as he's gotten older now. Yeah, that was the thought, was that he is going to, that maybe this was the kind of player that he was going to be. His slugging last year was 446, 481 the year before, 617 the year before. So it has been decreasing as we've gone along here. In Jose Abreu's career.
Dubon is from Honduras. KJ said, now the people in Honduras are about to go crazy because he's from Honduras.
No one cares. He's French to us.
Last time I saw, he was from Venezuela.
No one.
I didn't Google that, but feels right. It feels like that's where he's from.
Yeah, well, no, it really.
I don't know if you know. Astros players have a lot of players from different countries. The Astros have a lot of players from different
countries. Yeah, and especially Latin.
It's hard to keep up with sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's Venezuela or Chile or Colombia.
It's not Chile.
Whatever.
There's no hitters from – there's no baseball players from Chile.
Chile? Oh, yeah. Chile. They have baseball players, too.
You know what?
I'd like to see – you want me to see major league players from Chile?
Yeah, go ahead. That's how our first segment rolls. Yeah, did you think we'd be searching to see what Major League Baseball players are from Chile?
Chile.
Who escaped?
You have to say Chile, too, by the way. Oh, Aroldis Chapman's not? He's not a baseball player?
He's Cuban.
Let's see.
His mom was probably from Chile.
Maybe this isn't true.
Nope.
Maybe it's from Chile, but players by country. I'll see. Okay.
Wait a minute. Did that say these? Is that a favorite food thing? Because he could have been Chile. Aroldis Chapman loves Chile is what that could have been.
Actually, there are none.
Yeah.
Actually, there are none, if you want to know.
That's not a baseball-playing country.
Yeah, it's really not. They really like the
soccer. How many Brazilian players? A lot of Brazilian players, too?
Brazilian player from Brazil. Jan Gomez, Paulo Orlando, Thiago Vieira, Luis Gojara.
No, these guys are MMA fighters.
No, these guys are really. They're with the White Sox, with the Toronto Blue Jays, Seattle. Yeah, they have
players. Have you heard of any of them?
Not a one. Yan Gomez, you've heard of. You've heard of Yan.
So, okay. Yeah. Wonder where they play, because do they just pick up games outside the soccer academy?
Maybe. Hey.
The football academy?
If you're going to be coming from Brazil, you're probably pretty damn talented, okay? Because there's nowhere to play there.
Who's working with you?
Nobody.
Everyone's like, well, I don't even have a field. Everything's a soccer field. I have no baseball fields.
None. Anyway, so the French should be proud right now of what Mauricio Dubon is doing. He is.
Really, and the Venezuelans.
He's really solidified himself as a... Listen!
And I guess the Hondurans.
Chaz is at the top of the order. And I heard yesterday, I mean, it was Jeremy, and he always does stuff. He always says stuff. So he was like, oh, already Dusty's kicked Pena to the curb. Not really. Pena was struggling at the top of the order, and he's actually a lot better in the six hole than he was at the top of the order. He was really good in the two hole, but you can't put him in the two hole.
So in other words, he got kicked out of his spot, just like Jeremy said.
Well, I don't know about kicked out of his spot, but Listen, Chaz, you need this. This offense needed a kickstart the way that it was going the first 10 games of the season, 9 games of the season. It wasn't good. So, you know, I applaud Dusty for actually moving stuff around. Hey, maybe this will give us a jump start, and it sure did. Chaz at the top of the order has been pretty damn good, and I'm fine with it. Chaz, oh, by the way, an everyday player, is, you know what, and Dusty said, well, we're going to keep doing this, you know, as long as he keeps producing, we're going to keep on doing this. I don't have to see Jake Meyers anymore in center field. Do you? Is this something that you have to see?
Well, I don't have to see it, but if they want to do it, that's fine. You know,
I don't mind. If you want to give Jordan a rest and put him at DH, you want to play Jake Meyers in left, that's great. But Chaz McCormick, after what he did last year, didn't deserve to not play the first two games.
No, Chaz has, not in Dusty's estimation, I guess, and maybe Dana Brown wants it a different way also. Maybe they want to see certain at-bats, and their plan is for one guy to get 70%, one guy to get 30. I don't know. But I just know that, in my mind, it kind of feels like it's settled. But I also do feel like that at any point, Jake could really, you know, potentially, that's a little strong to say Jake could get it together at any point. But I have seen him do it before where he's gotten hot, and then he's been ice cold. But I do think that Jake is at an age where you almost do want to have him getting at bat. But at some point, if you're hitting in the minors, that's great. And if you know who the guy is in the minors, you got to see if they can be that guy in the majors. And I think maybe that's where they are with Jake Meyers. They're like, yeah, we know who he is. We just want to see if he can create. We want him to get enough at bats where we can see if he's going to be that guy. Because it'd be great if you could. He's got speed. He doesn't have the big arm, but he's got speed. And
yeah, that's
he's got
great,
some,
though, if you're the Pirates or the, you know, any number of teams. You're the Astros, and you know you got to win games. You got to be the best you can possibly be. And Chaz is the best center fielder they have, so play him. That's what I mean, this isn't, hey, let's everybody participate. This is the Astros.
Well, no,
this is the best team in baseball.
Yeah, but actually, the Astros will do some of that though.
No, yeah, No. They bring guys up and they put them in tough spots. They do that all the time. But he's already had how many chances?
How many at bats do you think Jake has had
in his career? Well, don't forget the injuries. I mean, that hurt. But listen, if you can't come back from injury and be as good as you were before, then that's, you know, then.
I mean, he's 26. They're getting to the point where maybe they just want to be able to make a definitive statement on him, and you know, it might be about moving him potentially. You don't know, but I mean, he's had 310 at bats, not a ton.
No, it's a half a
not
season.
Not a ton.
It's a half
but
a
he's
season.
Hitting 242. It's not bad. His slugging is pretty high, 662.
No, he's not.
That's not.
No,
high.
It's not true.
That's not high. I mean, not slugging OPS.
His OPS. Yeah, he's not slugging 662.
Now, a strikeout to walk is actually pretty impressive. It's 18 walks to 110 strikeouts, but when I say impressive, well, when I say impressive, it's like, wow. I didn't even know.
Yeah,
that's, you're getting close. You're really six.
It's almost 6-1.
It's 6-1.
Yeah, that's not that impressive.
No, it's more than 6-1.
It's impressive that he's still at the big league level. That's what's impressive.
He's been caught stealing once ever, and he's got 5 stolen bases.
Well,
so
5-1.
I prefer to focus on the positives.
That's positive.
7 home runs, 2 triples, 14 doubles. John, that's 23 extra base hits out of his 75 hits. That's pretty
good for him.
He's been hit by 6 career pitches, which is pretty good.
God bless.
He's getting on base.
Uh-huh.
He's only grounded into 2 double plays. Okay. I'm focusing on a lot of the more positive
stuff.
Can we
move on from Jake Meyers' stats, career stats, for a second here? We got to talk about the Rockets.
Here's first segment. All right, we're going to tell you how many. If you missed the first segment, this is what you missed. Players from Chile, as we do a live search on the air, and Jake Meyers' career batting stats.
All right.
And I don't even want to see Jake play, and I'm trying to make a feasible argument for letting Jake play a little
bit. Well, the question, two things. Is Chaz going to be out of the lineup at all, or do you lead him off every day? And you know what? And because of what he's been doing at the top of the order. And secondly, David Hensley. You know, the way that Dubon is playing, how do you get that little Frenchie out of the lineup? That's the question. And you know what? If he continues to hit and he's hot, do you continue to play him? Hensley isn't horrible, but Hensley is, you know, striking out a lot. So do you play Hensley in left field? Do you DH Hensley? And you let Dubon get out there every day and see until he cools off? Those are questions that Dusty has to answer as we get go forward here. Right now, we're taking a break. When we come back, Rafael Stone met the media, and we'll hear from him on the other side about what the Rockets are going to be doing. But first, we're going to talk a little QC.
QC Kinetics. Ken reached out the other day, and he's one of our listeners who he took that leap and went to QC Kinetics and started getting his shoulder working. He had a torn labrum. I've torn my labrum before, my left one as well. And a lot of times they'll tell you the rehab is, unless you're a participating athlete, a lot of times it's not really going to be worth it because it takes a really long time. You got to kind of immobilize it, and it takes a long time for the rehab stuff. And if you want to go through it and have surgery, that's fine. But if you don't, one of the things that can develop is, you know, you may have some lingering pain. And for some people, it gets to be a lot worse. And Ken just heard me talking about it. He said his pain was on like an 8. And after the very first time there, his first treatment, it went way, way down. And now he's very close to being pain-free when he's active. He's pain-free when he's inactive. And now he's very close to being pain-free when he is active. And that's something that's really, really important, because living with chronic pain just, it kind of ruins your quality of life. I mean, that's something you get used to. You're dealing with your back, your shoulder, your hip, whatever the case may be. But regenerative therapy is the ability to take the body's healing power. They kind of supercharge it, put it back into the body, and it starts to do its job. And we're talking about restoring and regenerating damaged tissue. That's what causes that chronic pain. And when that happens, all of a sudden, when you're restoring and regenerating, you start finding your pain goes way, way down. And in many cases, your mobility and activity level goes up. QC Kinetics, brand new location out in Sugar Land as well. 713-913-5285. Go to the website to see a location nearest you, qckinetics.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Talking about Champion Energy right now. Look, if you're looking for the best way to get that electricity in your home, I've got an electric car now. They had to bolster my electricity in the garage and all of that stuff, and I just haven't even seen a difference on my electricity bill. If you're looking for an electricity company that is going to be just great, I've been with them for 15 years. I can't say enough about what Champion Energy has done for me. I'm telling you, it just saves you money. And when you're done with when your contract is up, they're going to give you a better rate as opposed to the other ones that keep on charging you a higher rate, not telling you that there's a better rate out there. Champion always does. So you're looking for that electricity company, champion.energy/1560, champion.energy/1560.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you. Rafael Stone met the media yesterday, and he gave it to us a little bit, huh? Laziness? You get that one? With the media, he's none too pleased with the media talking about the locker room, and you know, people talking about how it's a bad locker. We've heard firsthand from guys. Jay Will was in here, and Jay Will said he talked to a guy. Now we had so many guys. Jay Will, he was a bust. How's Jay Will know what's? It's a national guy not knowing what's going on. He actually talked to a player that was in that locker room. He actually heard from that player who had been around the league and knew what locker rooms and knew what good locker rooms are like. And the dude said, it's awful. The locker room is awful here. And that's kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal. Rafael Stone took exception to a lot of the reporting about this Rockets team yesterday.
Some of the stuff, like first of all, you know, there have been a couple of things. It hasn't been a lot. Secondly, a couple of the people are just out of their mind. And so, what I would say on players is players are entitled to their thoughts, and it's fine. And we've had a ton of people come through here over the last 3 years, and the vast majority of them have had amazing experiences. And I think if you're around, you talk to the guys in this locker room. We have a really good culture. We have not managed to turn that culture into wins at this point in time. But culture, I would put our team up there with anybody in the NBA. We work really hard. People are very supportive of each other. They get along very well. They spend a ton of time together off the court. A lot of that's the function of their youth, which is also one of the reasons why we've struggled to win. Like, it's all interrelated. But I am willing to fight with anyone who will say that our culture on this team this year, it was challenged. It's been, if not the best team I've ever been around, certainly one of the top two or three, and I've been in the NBA since 2005. As it relates to the media people who said it, I would say that some of them have been lazy. I think that there were a lot of things that were written and said about, and I was a part of these teams, so I don't want to walk away from it, but teams when I was not the GM, those teams were very successful. They did things in their own way. I think some people didn't like the way they did them. And so I think one of the things that's happened is that complaints about the way that those people did things are being conflated with us now, even though the only commonality is it's the Houston Rockets. The players, coaches, front office have changed hugely. That's my perception.
So what he's saying is this isn't the Harden Rockets. So don't – you had an opinion about the Rockets when Harden was here and the way he did things – and the way the locker room was then, and now it's probably a bias you have against the Rockets, and you're conflating the two. First thing I'm curious is, what does Rafael Stone think culture means? Like, for me, it sounds like he thinks it means, do you like each other? Do you hang around? I saw a live stream on a plane from, I think it was KJ Martin, and they're playing music, and they're kind of dancing and having a good time in the team plane. Like four or five of the players, and all the comments were, oh yeah, boy, this is a bad culture. Oh yeah, bad locker room. You know, people were kind of clowning that concept, but I don't think, like, saying that you like hanging out with each other, my opinion of culture is different. My definition is different. I'm talking about a winning culture. Yeah, some of it is guys getting along, but for me, culture means you got a locker room that has a focus on holding each other accountable. Mine isn't that they like listening to music and hanging out off the court. That's not, I mean, that can be good for a team, but that's not necessarily what I mean by culture. I mean, you have people who hold each other accountable, people who love each other, not just off the court, but as a brotherhood striving for a similar thing, a willingness to listen and not shut things down. And I think my definition is just different than Rafael Stone's. And I think a lot of people's opinion is going to be different. I think if you ask Eric Gordon, hey, what was the culture like? I wonder what Eric Gordon's saying. Because Eric Gordon, who has been part of different Rocket locker rooms, will tell you, I mean, yeah, he might say, no, it's not a James situation. You know, so obviously
might have been better for him.
Rafael Stone
might have been better for him without James in there.
But I don't get the sense that he liked the youth culture. Listen, like, just because they're the same and liked it. And Rafael also said, hey, young guys don't have a bunch of wins. Like, he didn't lean out. He didn't shy away from that.
Listen, that a lot of guys came through this locker room this year and their experience was amazing.
You haven't had
a little hard to believe.
Or over the last few years. Well, who were these players? Good players. It wasn't John Wall.
Well, no.
I can tell you it wasn't John Wall. So who are the players who are of any consequence?
Yeah, no. It might be guys who are borderline NBA players.
Yeah.
Wow. It was amazing, like, to be on an NBA
the
team.
The vibes were incredible. I have no doubt that the vibes are good.
Listen.
I've never once doubted the vibes. When I'm thinking culture, though, I'm talking about a culture building for championships. Like, I'm talking about winning culture. Yeah. I think our definitions are different.
No one in this locker room. Honestly, because it's so young, they're so young. Name a guy on this team that was on a winning team. Maybe was Frank Kaminsky on any winning team? No, he was in Charlotte.
No. Nobody is. No. Well, you can't think of anybody who's on the team who's young.
Who's the homeless guy? Was he on any good team?
The homeless guy?
Yeah.
Who was the homeless guy?
Willie Cauley-Stein.
He's not homeless. Yeah, Willie Cauley-Stein's been on some winning teams. He has to have. All the years in the league, nobody? Nobody had a winning record, at least, or went over their win total in Vegas.
He was with the trash Sacramento Kings, who are now a playoff team without him. And
Detroit,
then he went to
right?
Dallas. And now he is with Houston.
Nobody in that locker room knows what it's like to be on a good and then your experience was amazing. Yeah, this team is amazing. No, it's not. It's just not. So that's okay, though. I mean,
no, it's not
listen,
okay.
Listen, Rafael Stone is. This is a make or break year for Rafael Stone. I agree. I mean, what Kelly Eco and Sam Amick and Shams wrote about. I mean, that probably pissed him off what he read in The Athletic just yesterday or the day before it came out, where, you know, Rafael Stone is hanging by a thread. Rafael Stone needs to do something this year. There's no question. Rafael Stone, he's counting on it. He better get him some Victor Wembanyama.
Well, and he's not and you know, it's a 14% chance.
Yeah.
I was really just thinking about me and Mason. I was picking him up. So that's my basketball kid. And so I'm like, man, 14%. We're hanging all of our hopes and dreams.
Yeah, unfortunately.
All of the Rockets' ideas of the way they're going to improve are based upon a 14% chance. And I started thinking about 14% chance. Like, you know, there's a higher percentage chance right now that Jake Myers is going to get an extra base hit when he steps up to the plate.
Well, since his right now it's zero.
Well, no. Okay, so he's going to get a hit, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
Going to get on base.
Well, he's hitting .214, so that's 21%.
All right, what's
21%?
Is there a higher percent chance that the Astros get Wembanyama or that he will strike out?
There's a higher percent chance. Oh, that's real close. It's probably real close. 14% each, probably in that neighborhood. Yeah,
yeah. I think it's higher percent that Jake's going to strike out.
I don't know. No.
Yeah. What? Oh, I'm pretty sure Jake's at about
how many
probably
bats
one
does
to,
he have?
Probably one to three.
You're talking
chance.
About in. Okay.
Yeah, it's probably a 1-3 chance.
Well, yeah. Listen. Yeah, there's
the
odds
what's higher, Jake getting a walk, or Rockets getting Victor Wembanyama?
Jake getting
it's
walk.
Probably Wembanyama. It's not Jake getting a walk. Jake has
why are
a way.
We comparing Wembanyama to Jake Myers?
I know it's doing damage to my thing because there's a much better chance of getting Victor Wembanyama at 14% than Jake not striking out or getting a walk.
Just,
I already know for a fact.
I don't want our chances of changing
Jake,
the organization whether or not Jake Myers can get on base.
You don't like you don't like that.
No.
Bringing in the two of those together, but it's a 14% chance of getting Victor Wembanyama. That's it. 14% chance. Like, you know, that's not high.
No, it's not
that's
high.
That's low. If somebody told you had a 14% chance of, what's 1-6? 1-6 is what? It's about 16%.
Yeah.
That's like Russian roulette.
Right.
Only lower. You've got a lower percent chance.
Right.
Close to the same chance.
You have in that neighborhood. Right. It's that same neighborhood.
That's what you're dealing with here is you've got Russian roulette chances, and you don't want to win Russian roulette. Well, you don't want to be in the 14%.
No. Yeah, right. You want to be.
Yeah, you want to be
in the 86%.
Yeah.
Right. You want to be in the 86% when you're playing Russian roulette. And that's, you know, that's where we are right now. 728 ESPN 97. No, the odds aren't good. I mean, the odds are not good that they're going to get Victor. But you know what? Everybody has the same odds. Well, the bottom three teams all have the same odds.
Yeah, the same odds. But the Rockets really have to get one or two. They really – I like Brandon Miller if he's third, but I like his potential. But I'm not going to really hold – he had a groin injury. I'm not going to really hold the fact that he kind of disappeared in the tournament. Because he had the good game, and he hurt the groin, and he didn't play as well. The gun thing we know about, he brought a gun to a teammate. I got news for you. Do you know how many players in the NBA would have brought a gun to their teammate? A high percentage.
Yeah.
Acting like, no one in the NBA would have ever brought a gun to a teammate. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well,
Let's not act like this is a fundamental flaw that is just only he would have done this. No one else ever would have done such a thing. Yes, they would.
Yeah.
Especially gun culture now with young players. It's 100% going to happen. So maybe not 100%, but a high percentage would have. So Brandon Miller, the player, I like him, you know, but is it going to really change the game? I'm, obviously will make you better. Adding better players is going to make you better. I'm looking for a game-changing, like, what's going to be the fundamental game-changing element on the Rockets? What's it going to be? If it's not Victor Wembanyama and it's not Scoot Henderson, what is it going to be? Like, then it's all Rafael Stone's job, and it's the job of the Fertittas and Rafael to figure out the head coach, because it better start with head coach. Then.
Well, if listen, do you get the number one pick and you're going to have a lot better head
Jaylen
coach?
Jaylen Brown.
You're going to have a lot better head coach if you get that number one overall pick.
Oh, yeah. But Jaylen, and do you think they're waiting to see how
that's?
Yes, that,
I would.
I would, too. I'd be like, I ain't going to
the Kenny Atkinson turned down the Atlanta job.
I ain't going to the Rockets for the
Kenny
fifth
Atkinson pick.
Kenny Atkinson
is like, I'm taking the right job this time. I ain't going to the Nets again. I'm taking the right job this time. And if you don't, this Rockets team, this is what you want to walk into?
Well, but maybe with their culture being so good, because we heard it was really great. Good. So maybe that's with right. The culture being so good, somebody said, you know what I want to do? Step into that culture. I know everybody else says it's not good.
You know what I say is good is Doc Linville. I say Doc Linville is good because, well, that's true. Doc Linville is great. Not only is he good, he's great. Doc Linville is the guy that's going to change your life with your hair. I mean, if you're a guy, I don't want to say, listen, like Rafael Stone. Hey, I mean, he could use Doc Linville. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I can point out a bunch of people that could use Doc Linville. Doc Linville will change your life with your hair. It'll look so much better. I mean, superheroes aren't bald. No, there's no cue ball. Don't tell me about some remote superhero now that's bald. I mean, because it's forever. Superman, Batman, everybody here. It's got great hair. How do you get great hair? You go see Doc Linville with the neo grafting, with the and not only that, but he has the painkiller that he's going to put in your head, and it is going to you won't feel anything for days. So you're not going to feel. It is going to be great for you. Your experience is going to be great. Mine was great. Yours will be great. And listen, you're going to have more hair. You want more hair? Go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Hey, there's going to be some of you right now who, you know, maybe you had a bonus come in for work and now you're getting hit with the tax bill. And you go, ah, man, where am I going to find this money? And let me give you an idea, an example of where you could find the money. And tax day's around the corner. Maybe you're going to extend your file an extension. But our friends over at TJS Insurance, what they do is they shop for homeowners insurance for you at a competitive rate. What you have with your company right now is just homeowners insurance. They just every year they'll go up and they'll go up and they'll go up. And so the question becomes, are you going to find a competitive rate? Well, you can get on the phone and sit on the phone forever and try to find rates. But the best way to do it is just pick up your phone and text the word money to 232323. Because when you do that, it starts the process of shopping for homeowners insurance through TGS. And TGS looks for a variety of they have a variety of A-rated insurance companies on the back end of their algorithm. And when they put your address in, boom, it just spits out prices. And you can compare that very, very quickly, within 15 seconds, most instances, of what are you looking for. Within 15 seconds, you're going to find what your rate is going to be. Text the word money to 232323. They can save you your money and get you paid off. If you've already put your money into your homeowner's insurance, you'll get a prorated amount back from your insurance company. It's text the word money to 232323.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you see this? I'll send it to RJ. We'll play it. John Rahm talking about Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna send that to you, RJ. You got it already? You got it? Okay. Good stuff. It's one of the reasons. I think you had it yesterday, right? The Zach Ertz stuff. Zach Ertz and J.J. Watt, Zach Ertz and John Rahm are all boys.
Yeah, that's what a weird thing that is. Well, J.J. because he played in Arizona was Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
So that's how they became friends.
And he's a big Arizona State guy. He went to Arizona State.
Who?
Played for Phil's Zach Ertz. Brother, John Rahm. Played for Phil's brother there.
Wait a minute. Where did Zach Ertz play?
Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz was
where did he play college?
Notre Dame, right? Yeah, Zach Ertz was Notre Dame.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. JJ was in Arizona, obviously. But JJ's game is really bad. I don't know how John Rahm put up with playing with.
That bad?
He's so muscle, you know.
Yeah.
He's got, I don't know that he can't swing because he's just.
No. Zach Ertz was Notre Dame. I mean, Stanford. I can't remember who Notre Dame was. There was the other one who came out. But Zach Ertz was Stanford. So I don't know it had to be some kind of Arizona connection.
Yeah.
Like where they met John Rahm at some event in Arizona, probably. Or maybe he's a Cardinal. Maybe he's gone to Cardinal game, something like
maybe,
that.
Maybe. Whatever the case may be.
So what happened?
So apparently they tweeted him. Actually, here's John Rahm explaining his four putt on number one. He started the tournament. Nobody has started the tournament with a double bogey and won the tournament. Nobody has started the tournament with a double bogey and shot 7 under in that round. So John Rahm was, against all odds, after the first hole of the tournament, was an unlikely winner. Here he is talking about that first hole and why it happened that way.
For those people who believe in jinxing other players, people, and whatever it may be, Thursday morning, when I was getting on the golf cart to get to this putting green 10 minutes before my tee time, I saw a text from a good friend of mine, and I'm going to name him because he is a Super Bowl winning champion, Zach Ertz. He said the text, I'm gonna paraphrase here, but he said, that first green looking like a walk in the park or something like that right now, 10 minutes before I four-putted the start of the tournament. So, thank you, Zach. Don't ever do that again, please.
And JJ was like, JJ said, pretend you're playing with us. Because I guess John Rahm always plays really well. Pretend you're playing with us. And then he four-putted and he goes, JJ said, I said, pretend you're playing with us, not like us.
Yeah, not like us.
Not like us, okay? And John Rahm goes on to win. Good stuff. Anyway, yeah, we've talked very little about John Rahm's win yesterday. There's only one European that's ever won the U.S. Open and the Masters,
mm-hmm.
and that's John Rahm. That's John Rahm, and
ever
won both.
How is that even remotely possible?
Yeah,
one European in the history of golf.
Yeah,
is huge. Golf has been going on since they were hitting it with sticks.
Yeah.
That seems impossible.
Yeah.
Well, Scottish, English, Spanish, nothing.
Yeah.
Not French, really, so much. No Russian.
That's I heard yesterday that I'm hoping I'm almost positive is correct.
Did it come from ballsack.com?
It didn't come from Ballsack, both U.S. Open and the Masters. So it's maybe tough to believe, but loaded with European talent we've seen over the years. But after his victory at Augusta National, John Rahm became the first golfer ever to win both the Masters and U.S. Open.
It's in people.com too. So I know it's true.
Yeah. It's Golf Digest.
But yeah. This also there. People.
Right. So
this is that. Think about that in the history of golf.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, golf, you're going back over a century, well over a century. This is the first time. I don't know how long the Masters has been in existence.
No, 1934 it started.
But, you know, close to a century of golf.
Yeah.
And we've had some very good European players.
Yeah.
And you don't have a European winner of the U.S. Open and Masters. That's incredible to me.
Yep.
Not Seve.
No. He dedicated his win to Seve. The hug that he and Jose Maria had after the round was really cool. He's the fourth Spaniard to win it. Sergio, Seve, Jose Maria, and now John Rahm. But he had the two of them were embraced for a long time, and that's really cool because that your countryman, has joined that elite club. Pretty neat stuff. Good stuff. I was rooting for Brooks, actually, though. You want to know the truth?
I was, too.
I was rooting for Brooksy.
I was, too, and then you could just see it wasn't going to be his day. Like, even when he was trying to hang on, you thought he might hit a resurgence, and it never happened. He just was spraying everything. He just couldn't hit it straight.
I think this showed, and we haven't talked about it. I think this showed how splintered and how bad the splinter is, because you see Phil at the top, you see Brooks at the top. Cam Smith is one of the best players in the world. He finished 2 under, I believe. There are so many guys that are not playing on a weekly basis on the PGA Tour right now and are obscure right now in the game of golf because nobody is watching the live, that it has really, really hurt the game, because there are such good players that have abandoned the PGA Tour and gone over to the dark side. So it is, it does. It kind of sucks. It sucks for the game. This Masters showed that, you know, the game is not as good as it was because the best players aren't competing every week. And that's a shame. That's a shame. 7:42.
So in terms of Jake stats, what were the odds of Rahm overcoming the double bogey on hole one? All right. So in terms of Jake stats, career, so what had a better chance of happening? Jake having a home run. Hitting a home run in any single at-bat, the percentage there is the same percentage as Rahm overcoming.
No. That. No. Jake winning MVP of the league.
No, that's not fair.
Yeah, because no one had ever overcome a double bogey.
Yeah, but it could have. You could still say yes, it could still happen.
Yeah.
No one had ever done it. Jake
could win MVP.
No, that's not possible.
What are you talking about?
He can't even play for you.
Well, I know, but if he was on the
field.
How
can you win? John Rahm's actually going to compete and play a whole round. Jake can't even finish a game. So there's a lower, if you don't play.
Okay, Jake hitting 20 homers is probably. Because no one had ever had a double bogey in the first hole and won the tournament.
Yeah, Jake hitting 20 homers. Looks like Jose Abreu hitting 20 homers. Starting to look like that.
He's done that before,
too.
Though. No one had ever done this before.
Yeah.
He's done it before. Uh-huh. Now, he's not going to do it anymore, though. It doesn't look like.
So in terms of Jake, yeah.
The same
percentage of Jake hitting 20 home runs to Rahm. So if you wanted a Jake conversion chart, Jackie, that's what we're looking at.
I'm going to see my boys today, as a matter of fact. I'm playing with Wayne and Chase today out at Wildcat Golf Club. And these are the guys that have brought us the Dublend and the Canstead. These are the guys that have brought us. I mean, every time I see somebody chewing, I'm like, what? Man, you were really harming yourself. I mean, you're chewing tobacco. First of all, you're doing it. You're putting that tobacco in the same place in your jaw all the time. It's just really, really bad for you. It's not good. The tobacco, the nicotine, the I don't know what you're developing, some kind of sores in your mouth or whatever. It's just not good. Here's a great way to do the same thing, but do it with healthily. Is that a word? Healthily? Probably not. But to do it without the danger of the nicotine and the tobacco. No nicotine, no tobacco. It's the Canstead and the Dublend. If you're looking to wean yourself off of this dip, or this may be the dip that you're looking for. Hemp made with hemp, with CBD, it's the way to go. People, try it. 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, so we didn't do much on the tournament, but a minor league game, the announcer, the play-by-play guy, decided to call an at-bat like Jim Nance Jim Nance calls the Masters. Here is, you can't see it. It's on television. You can't see it, but the batter goes to the plate, and he's taken a couple of pitches, and
he's not calling the play-by-play of the pitches, so you know.
He's that. Just so you know, he's the guy is at the plate, and you're going to hear, here is, what's this guy, Dan Hasty. This is a West Michigan Whitecaps game, a West Michigan Whitecaps minor league game. And here's the call.
Hello, friends. A beautiful Saturday afternoon in Comstock Park. This is inning number 7. Still in the front 9, if you will. Eric Pinales hails from San Cristobal. It's about 30 kilometers from Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. Right now looking at a pitch from about 60 feet, 6 inches. No idea how that one stayed out.
It was a pitch that just missed.
Low on the strike zone, yeah.
I struggled a lot in 2022 with his control.
A fine hit, deep to left center. Off the wall. Lucas Dunn into second base. Exquisite. A one-out double here in the 7th.
An excellent approach to that hit. Patient, able to line it up. Deposited into left center field.
Got it into the short grass out there.
Got it into the short grass. Was great. Yeah. That's a great call. That guy does a really good job of channeling the Jim Nance energy too.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Let me ask you a question. So right now ESPN's doing their performative stuff where a topic comes up, and then, you know, Ryan Clark holds his face and won't look in the camera. Is just so discombobulated, he can barely even breathe or speak, and everyone acts like they're just so put off that they can't, like, they're about to leave the set and go home. Mm-hmm. This is a thing that they've done this, and they it's one of their things they've been doing for a couple of years. So the comment was former quarterback Carson Palmer made a comment that he thinks Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the league. And one of the things he said was, I know Patrick Holmes is phenomenal. I just think he's more consistent. And then he also said, you know, he runs the play that is called. His whole thing is the play's there. There's things that are open. Joe sees it and Joe makes the throw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I would say for me, I understand why you say that, because Carson Palmer is that type. I mean, Ryan Clark, I am actually praying that Ryan Clark makes it through this segment. Look at him.
He's disgusted.
This is broken his heart, this opinion that someone has. Anyway, Carson Palmer was a pocket quarterback. Joe's a pocket quarterback. Carson is very specifically talking about getting through a play that's called and not improvising out of a play or whatever. All right, that's fine. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. I see where you're coming from. I understand it. I just think, you know, part of being a quarterback now is that you have to be able to, yes, are there going to be some plays where Patrick maybe doesn't see what's there and improvises something else? Probably so. Probably that is happening. But he makes so many positive plays, and he's won at such a high level, and he makes winning plays that it's hard to take, and he's played at a very consistent level now. It's hard to, it's going to be the minority opinion. But you can have a respect for the opinion, like, all right, you know, I understand where you're coming from on that one. I would just say that there's more winning plays right now being made by Pat Mahomes than anybody in pro football at the quarterback position, and he's won at a very high level. So, you know, I get where you're coming from, but I think to be the man, you got to beat the man. And basically, you're going to have a hard time selling Joe Burrow over a guy who keeps getting the Super Bowls.
Listen, Carson Palmer, I hesitate. All of these shows, anything anyone says, I mean, are we just trying to get clicks? Are we just trying to be valid out there? Are we just trying to get people to talk about us? I don't know the Carson Palmer belief. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, he probably said it on a podcast. I don't know where he said it. Maybe it was on a podcast. It was on a podcast somewhere.
Yeah. Well, here's the
quarterback.
Speaking
room.
Of a podcast where I don't know if you can believe it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's DeMarcus Cousins on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. DeMarcus Cousins Where does DeMarcus Cousins rank as far as centers?
He was a rocket. Do you think he had a beautiful time here? He had a wonderful time?
No, amazing is the word.
Yeah.
He had an amazing experience here. Here's DeMarcus Cousins on where he ranks in centers, as far as centers go, right now in the NBA.
I don't want to sit up here and call it mad, but are you sitting here seeing yourself in play and all that?
Man, look, right now I'm third best center in the league.
Right now.
Right now, he's the third best center in the league. Right now. Yes!
It's Embiid. So he's. I'm assuming Embiid and Jokic.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that, but I don't know that for a fact.
Well,
I mean, he definitely thinks he's better than Karl-Anthony Towns. Wow, he is the third best center right now. Can barely move. He's had Achilles injuries. Can barely. Okay, let's keep going.
Oh no, that was it.
That was it.
But you heard Kevin Garnett.
But he also said about Jokic. Okay, where does Jokic rank? Where does Jokic rank as far as centers all time?
And my guess is he's going to say like 70th.
No, actually, he's going to say one more MVP.
I'm not okay with it being three MVPs in a row because it then becomes a conversation of, is this the best basketball player to ever touch a basketball? And I think we can all agree on that and say it's not. Yeah. Not saying he can't be, not saying he doesn't deserve more down the road, but at this stage in his career, I'm not okay with saying that. He hasn't won anything.
Who says if he wins three straight MVPs that he's the greatest of all time?
So this is the argument that people have, is that they don't want him to get the MVP this year because he's already got more MVPs than Dream, then he'll have more than Kobe. It bothers people from a historical standpoint that he has a certain number. That's just the luck of the draw when you play basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, he happens to be a triple-double machine at the center position in an era where stats are like pin. I mean, the stats are going bananas right now.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Going bananas.
Do you know that this is the first time since 2005, that we've had more than three guys average more than 30 points a game?
Yeah, no, it's what look
we've
at
got
the point.
Six this year.
Look at the point total.
And this is the first time that there's been three.
Well, that's why you
since
can't,
2005.
You have to take the point totals with a grain of salt this year.
Yeah.
Like the defense has been historically, it's considered the worst defensive era in the history of the game.
It's awful.
And it's so bad. And this is another thing, like you don't see who is the dominant who's the ball dominant player, a lead guard type. I mean, you got Luka in terms of ball dominant, non-big. You look at the two best players in the league right now are bigs. They're going to win MVP. You know, the two most likely to win MVP are Embiid and Jokic. And both of them can give you triple doubles on any given night. And Jokic, I mean, Embiid especially can score. But it's not Ja. It's not like Jason Tatum. But Jason Tatum's not that guy right now. Devin Booker's not the conversation.
Would you like to guess the six? You got one.
What's that?
The 30. The guys who scored 30.
Who averaged 30? Well, LeBron's one.
No.
LeBron's not? I thought he had
You mentioned him.
Oh. Averaging 30 is definitely Embiid. Embiid and Tatum. Embiid, Tatum.
Ja.
Oh, Ja's averaging over 30 a game?
No. Yeah,
no? Ja's not averaging
30? No, it's not 30? Ja.
Shea.
Yeah. Oh boy, that's a good one. What's Mikal Bridges at right now? He's not, but since he's gone, since the trade, he's gone bananas.
Right.
Who are they?
Embiid, Luka, Dame, Shea, Giannis, and Tatum.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Of course, Dame does. Statistically, I was trying to point this out to my son. He has trouble grasping with this. The numbers right now, if you just look at stats, you'll be thrown way off, right? Because you can't, you know, it's hard to look at just stats because the scoring, you have to look at the percentage of team points or the percentage of, because the increase in scoring in this era is like, it's like if every team were Doug Moe's Denver Nuggets. Right, there was only one team that would do this, in the 80s. And then in the 90s, you had Golden State to an extent, and you had some teams. But this is like at an all-time high. The early off, there's so many more shots taken per game right now. So, of course, you're going to average more points. But the argument against people don't want Jokic to win because three in a row means historically there's not, you know, you get into a rarefied air. Well, that's just such a weird way for me to look at. You look at each season, and I understand the idea, but I think you've seen enough of these argument shows. It's not going to be determined by how many MVPs. I know people will make that argument, but does Jokic MVP feel like he's a top 10
MVP
player all time?
MVP rarely plays into greatness.
I hear rings.
Yeah.
I don't hear MVPs
I don't
as
hear
much.
That. I don't
and
hear
maybe
that.
People are worried
Listen,
about
Kendrick,
when they have arguments.
Kendrick
you know?
Perkins won Embiid this MVP.
Well, he changed. Well, but Denver also started losing.
Yeah.
Embiid went on a. So
it was going to be after that, after Kendrick Perkins' declaration, it was going to be difficult for Jokic.
But he came off his dump.
Anything that happened with him.
Yeah, but
he
didn't come off well, though. I don't know if I agree with that because it's not like we came away from that like.
It brought attention to a white guy winning, though. It did. And.
Yeah, but he was. But in a pot, like in a negative way, do you really think that the voters said, boy, Kendrick makes a really good point? Who said that?
No.
That votes?
No, but it still brought awareness to that situation, which is there should be no awareness. Either you're the best player in that year or you're not.
Should there be an awareness ribbon against white players winning MVPs? Like,
yes, there should be an
awareness. Or an awareness like you wear certain sneakers where you can wear a ribbon?
But you could drink some dope, some
you
My
just said
Bell.
He brought awareness against white players winning MVP. Is that a day? Is that a ribbon? What do we do? Is Steve Nash on it? Maestro Nobel, man. So the Maestro Nobel difference is that when you go into a liquor store, if you go into a good liquor store, if you go to like, I'm not supposed to say different liquor stores, but I'm just going to throw a couple to you, like the Specs downtown, okay? Just, you know, or wherever, Total Wine, whatever. And you go into a liquor store and you see Maestro Nobel and you start to realize, hey, wait a minute. There's a Cristalino bottle, and there's silver, and here's the Reposado, and then what's that really nice one up there? Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, that's the Añejo Extra Cristalino. That's the baller of the baller tequilas that they make. It is a more expensive tequila. I'll tell you that right out, straight out. It's also the best tequila I've ever tasted, and I've tasted some high-end tequilas, some sipping tequilas before I've had the opportunity to. I didn't have to pay on some of them, but Maestro Nobel's was incredible. And I tell you right now, just the Cristalino itself as a sipping tequila, absolutely perfect. If you are looking for a great sipping tequila, Maestro Nobel should be at the top of your list. It is at a price point that is very reasonable, and it is a high-end, it's well-concepted tequilas where they have created the flavor profiles and the aging process to really give you knockout flavors. And whether you're making it just a cocktail, a margarita, or you want to have it as a sipping tequila, Maestro Nobel is definitely something that should be on your shelf. Wherever fine liquors are sold, if they don't sell Maestro Nobel, ask for it by name. It's Maestro Nobel.
ESPN 97.5.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.